Welcome to What's Poppin', a podcast where we get to know the people of Prince of Peace a bit better and dig deeper into the message from the previous Sunday. Today, my guest is Daryl Key. Daryl, thanks for coming today.
Sure, thank you for having me.
So, Daryl, I want to start with a question that I'm curious about myself, and that is, how long have you been in the Fremont area?
I've actually been in the what I'm going to call the Tri-City area, which is Fremont, Newark, Union City, basically my whole life.
Your whole life?
Except for about a year and a half to 2 years after Deb and I got married,
okay.
We moved to Maine.
What brought you to Maine?
A job. A friend of mine started a business, and he needed my expertise, which was estimating and detailing, and asked if I would come out and help him with it. And
okay.
I had always wanted to live in the New England area,
okay.
So we said yes.
All right, so I got two questions based upon those answers. First of all, estimating and detailing. What does that actually mean, to estimate and detail?
To estimate means that I'm looking at a set of plans,
mm-hmm.
and in this particular case, it was doing metal siding and metal roofing, and then I was introduced a little bit to the mechanical side of buildings, the HVAC.
Okay.
So I would take off the materials, price it out, labor it out, submit the bid.
Okay, yeah.
And if we were awarded the project, then I would have to do shop drawings,
oh.
Send them out for approval, get them approved, order the materials. Somebody else did the installation.
How did you get into that?
When I was in school, I had actually wanted to become an architect. So I started taking classes going towards architecture.
Yeah.
Some other circumstances came into my life. I quit school.
Okay.
And I got a job for a company called Inland Ryerson, which did metal roofing and metal siding.
Okay.
And metal flooring. And I started out as a detailer there.
And that's how it all started.
And that's how it all started.
Okay, so now back to the always want to live in the New England area. So you get there, but it only lasts 2 years?
Yes.
So what brought you back to California?
God told me it was time to go back to California.
All right.
And the business at that time, it was during the 80s, the early 80s.
Okay.
The country at that time was going through a lot of problems with budgets and that type of thing.
Very familiar to today, actually.
Yes. And the businesses back there, which was primarily the paper mills,
mm-hmm.
held on to their money, stopped all projects. We hadn't been in business long enough to survive that.
Yeah. So, ended up back in Fremont?
Ended up
in the Tri-City area?
Against my own will, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But yes, ended back up in California.
What is your favorite occupation that you've had in your life, and then why?
Basically, it's what I've been doing my whole life, which is estimating and detailing.
Okay.
God gave me a mindset for details.
Hmm.
And then with my love of architecture and that, it suited me well.
Okay.
And I was able to progress over time from just doing flooring and roofing more into the mechanical systems, which is a whole other story.
Right.
And learning all of that because of the details for estimating. I like to get into the nuts and bolts of things.
So are you still doing that?
No, I just recently retired.
Oh.
June 3rd was my last day.
Oh, so really recently retired.
Really recently,
oh, wow.
Yes.
So how's that going so far?
It's wonderful.
Yeah?
I always thought I would have a little bit of a problem with not working, doing what I've been doing my whole life.
Right.
Well, for most of it anyway.
Yeah.
But come to find out, that following Monday, I woke up and, hey, this is great.
Well, that's fantastic.
So,
yeah. And I've talked to a lot of retired folks, and they say they actually become busier once they retire. Have you realized that yet, or are you still watching Price is Right?
No. In fact, I always have to be busy.
Yeah.
I have to be doing things. And I've had so many projects that needed to be finished, completed.
Mm.
That I'm now I have the time to do that.
Things around the house?
Things around the house. I'm a woodworker.
Oh, really?
So I love to build cabinetry and things like
that.
Oh,
cool.
So that's what I'm hoping to do.
Oh, so kind of
part-time.
Make that hobby kind of a part-time business type thing.
Right.
That sounds really cool. Yeah. So do you do furniture or just cabinetry or everything?
Coffee tables, armoires. Just anything
really?
I don't do chairs.
That's don't do chairs?
That's a whole other that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
And but to do a table, yes.
Huh. So I could see how the attention to detail and the architecture would kind of come together in woodworking if you already had sort of mechanical skills. And so do you see those things coming together for you? Is that why you like doing it?
Yeah. I love to for somebody to say, this is what I've thought about wanting to have, and taking their ideas, drawing it
sketching
down,
it out.
Sketching it out, coming up with the type of wood that I want to use, and then build it and put it together, and
then see what it looks like at the end.
See what it looks like at the end.
Yeah. Oh, that's
makes
really
me
cool.
Happy.
Learn something new about you. That's great. How did you get to Prince of Peace?
Okay. You know my background.
Yeah, a little bit.
I've mentioned
You've
it.
You mentioned it, yeah.
And my wife, Deb, she was raised Lutheran.
Okay.
We met, got married, but we attended the Nazarene Church.
Okay.
And I knew that over time, Deb was missing going to the Lutheran Church. When our kids got into middle school, we had been driving by Prince of Peace, and I had told her that, would you like to go to Prince of Peace sometime to one of their special services, like the Thanksgiving Eve service that they had?
Yeah.
Things like that. So we started coming to those.
Okay.
The other ones, like Christmas Eve and that, we went to our own, the church that we had
been
attending.
The Nazarene Church.
Yeah. Well, we had changed churches
after
that.
Okay.
Then eventually, once the children were out of the house, our oldest daughter and her husband started coming to Prince of Peace.
Oh.
We left Castro Valley Church at that time, the neighborhood church there, and started attending here.
Okay.
And we've been coming here for, I would say, about 5 years, and then just recently became a member in November of 2021.
Yeah. That's pretty recently.
Pretty recently, again, yes.
How's it going for you?
I love being here.
Oh, good.
We're very happy here. I believe with all my heart, God called us here and to be a part of the fellowship.
And you guys are primarily 8:30 goers.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of it's more structured, more formal.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. Now, I'm not real familiar with the Nazarene worship service order. Is it similar? Is it liturgical in that sense?
Yeah, and it's very structured.
Yeah.
It's doing basically the same thing Sunday after Sunday after Sunday.
Yeah.
And I like and appreciate that structure.
Yeah.
So growing up with that, I was missing that. It's not that I don't like the more contemporary services, because I do.
Mm-hmm. But you like the almost the ritual sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. That really works for a lot of folks. That's why we have those type of services. So that's great. I'm glad that you and Debbie fit in there and enjoy it. I like seeing you guys on Sunday morning sitting a few pews behind me, the only ones anywhere near me. So that's always good. So I always ask the guests to bring a couple of things from the previous Sunday's message, if they have something good or interesting that made them think. And so last week, Pastor Zell was preaching on Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, which is Jesus walking on the water and then Peter stepping out. And so anything jump out at you from the messages last week that you want to share?
I never looked at when it says that immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat to go to the other side of the shore.
Yeah.
And I never really thought about that until Pastor brought up about maybe the political side of it.
Yeah.
That he didn't want the disciples to get mixed up in that.
Yeah.
So sending them away like that.
That he was making sure the disciples weren't pulled into this, let's make Jesus our earthly king,
right,
force him to do these things.
Yeah. Right. So that put a new perspective on things for me. The one thing that brought another new perspective to me was when it mentions that about Peter, if you are Jesus.
Oh.
To say instead of if, since you are.
Yeah.
So that put a different perspective for me that I had never even thought of with it in that term.
So what's the difference between if and since for you?
Because if to me made it sound like there was some doubt.
Like maybe you aren't.
Maybe you aren't.
Yeah.
Where looking at it, since you are, mm-hmm, he knew it was Jesus. So to me, he had the faith to ask, can I come out?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, yes, come.
Yeah. It does change things, right? It becomes instead of prove to me you are Jesus by calling me out, it's can I come out to you since you already are Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Peter's faith at that time wasn't brought into question because he got out of the boat.
Right.
He stood up and he started walking towards Jesus. It was, for me, it was after he took his focus off of Jesus and saw the wind, saw the waves.
Yeah.
How bad were the waves? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But to me, it was like a trial.
Yeah.
And as long as he kept his focus and didn't notice the surroundings, he was walking towards Jesus.
Yeah.
When the surroundings took precedence, mm-hmm, then he became afraid. Then he started to sink. But he still had the faith and the belief to call out to Jesus, help me, to me, knowing that Jesus would help him.
This idea that we know who Jesus is, and if you focus on him, you can quote unquote walk on water following him. But when the things of this world start to take our attention away from who Jesus is and focusing on him, we can start to focus on the wind and the waves of this world, and they can start to make us sink down and lose focus on him. But he's always there.
Yes, and it never says that Jesus stopped walking to me.
Yeah.
So to me, even though Peter may have stopped,
yeah,
and was looking at the surroundings instead of on Jesus, Jesus was still walking towards him. Yeah. Enough to where when Peter calls out, help me, Lord, Jesus was
right there to hold, to grab his hand.
Grabbed his hand.
Yeah.
Pulled him up.
Pulled him out, yeah.
And then they got into the boat together.
Mm-hmm.
And once they got into the boat together, the storm or the wind stopped.
Yeah.
The trial stopped.
Which is also interesting, right? Like, Jesus could have just made all the storms stop when Peter was sinking.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He saves him out of it while it's all going on. And it's not until he's safe with him in the boat that he makes the storm stop.
But Jesus did say to Peter, why did you doubt?
Yeah.
O ye of little faith. And I have found myself in situations like that where I knew Jesus was there, God was there.
Mm-hmm.
But the trial that was going on around me at that time made me lose focus.
How am I going to get out of this?
Yep. So I'm looking to myself to get out of this.
Yep.
Until I realize I'm not going to be able to do that. God, Jesus, please help me.
Keep our focus on him. And if we start to doubt or fall down, we just have to pick our eyes back up and ask him for help.
Yes. And with confidence, we know that he hears us, and we know that he will.
Yep.
He's not ever going to leave us alone.
Anything else from the message you thought was interesting or jump out at you?
I like Peter.
Yeah?
Because Peter, he was always, and this is no different, he always gets himself into situations.
He does. Yeah.
He speaks out boldly at times. When Jesus asked the disciples, who does everybody say that I am?
Yeah.
You know, and then he says, who do you say I am? And Peter's very quick to say, well, you're the Son of God.
Yeah.
You're the Messiah.
Yeah, you're the Christ. Yeah.
You're the Christ. And, but then later on, what does he end up doing? He ends up denying him.
Yeah. And also getting the plan wrong too. He's like, no, Jesus, no one's going to kill you. I won't let it happen.
So, I mean, he's very human.
He's very human.
And I find myself relating, you know, I tend to do the same things at times.
Yeah.
Even though I have 70 years of watching God work in my life.
Yep.
There's still those moments.
And that's why we get together at least once a week, right?
Exactly.
Because even though we have years and years of faith and experience, we have to have it just reinforced, reiterate over and over again to remind us. This is how good Jesus is. This is how awesome he is. This is how he's always with us. This is how God's love works. All right, I have a last question for you. And I don't know what your answer is going to be to this. And I came up with this question kind of on my own. So who knows where you're going to go with this. But imagine a world where sugar, fat, alcohol, and caffeine had no adverse effects on the brain or body. So that's, you know, this wonderful world where, you know, that's not going to have any problems for you. If you could only drink one thing in that world, what would it be?
I had to chuckle a little bit to myself when I read this, because I was thinking, what in the world does this have to do, you know, with Matthew chapter 14?
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. So I thought, oh, okay. And so I was kind of tossing between alcohol and caffeine,
mm-hmm.
because number one, I've always been very much a coffee drinking person like my dad.
Yeah.
But because of health issues, I've had to stop the caffeine.
Okay.
Alcohol, I've always loved wine.
Okay.
Especially pairing it with different kinds of foods and that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that I'm...
It can bring the flavors out.
Yeah. It's not that I'm a connoisseur, because I'm not. But it reminded me of when we lived back in Maine, about 5 to 10 miles outside of Livermore Falls, there's an underground spring that percolated up through the ground. It was just right off the road.
Really?
And so what they did is that people at some point in time put like a spigot there to where you could draw water from it.
Okay.
So Deb and I would go out there all of the time with our gallon containers, mm-hmm. and filled it up with that water. It was the most amazing taste of water.
Really?
That I've ever had. It was incredible.
Huh. All the minerals that were in it, probably as it came up through the ground.
Yeah. And it was, you would think, oh, that's not filtered. I'm not going to do that. But it is filtered.
It is filtered. Yeah.
Extremely filtered.
Yeah. When it comes through all those different strata of ground, it becomes filtered. Yeah.
Cold, ice cold. It was just, the taste was, anyway, our pantry was filled with gallon jugs of this water. And it made me think of Jesus's first miracle when he turned the water into wine.
Yeah.
And at the end, everybody was so surprised by the taste of the wine.
Of the good wine. Yeah.
Of the good wine.
Yeah.
So I started thinking, wow, I wonder what that wine must have tasted like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because everybody was shocked.
Yeah. So that would be the beverage of choice. If alcohol had no adverse effects, it'd be the wine that Jesus created out of the water. That's a fantastic answer. That's like a really well thought out answer, Daryl. I appreciate that. I wish I would have come up with something like that. I didn't have anything good. I thought, I like coffee, but I can't drink it all day. Otherwise, the caffeine gets me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I could drink coffee all the time. And I like beer, and I like whiskey, but I couldn't drink it all the time. And I actually would probably choose water. Like that water that you talked about sounded really good. And there was a spring at the top of Mount Palomar down in Southern California that you could ride, you could drive to as well. But we would ride our bikes up 4,500 feet of climbing in 9 miles. get to the top, and there's a spring there just off the side of the road, and that water was so good. And I'd probably choose that water. But now that you've said the wine, it's like, well, maybe that water turned into wine by Jesus would be the way to go.
Yeah. So, I mean, water wasn't on the list there, so I couldn't
say water.
Yeah, if I had my choice, it'd be that water all the time.
All the time. Yeah. Well, Daryl, thank you so much for coming in and sharing.
Sure. I enjoyed it.